unchanging, unfailing, resurrected Jesus. Only you, only you, only you, Jesus. 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 Emotional resilience. One of the things I do want to encourage you to do is avoid being afraid that you can't do it. You can develop emotional resilience, even though you may have been traumatized badly. Again, don't get stuck in neutral. Refuse to get stuck in neutral. I was talking about being stuck in neutral before, and that had to do with people enjoying their sin and deciding that they'd rather stay on that basic, essential, same level of maturity for the next 15, 20 years in order to keep enjoying the sin. But now I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about something has been done to you, and it was traumatic, and it makes it difficult for you to truly move forward in life. Don't assume that you cannot develop emotional resilience, that you cannot develop the ability to bounce back just because the situation was really, really traumatic. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that it was not as traumatic as you think it was. It was traumatic. There's no denying that. But don't think that just because it really was traumatic, that God has not given you the strength you need. He will not give you the grace you need to still come back from that. Okay. So here we go. Emotional resilient people, carefully and wisely choosing their team and enlisting the support of the team when they need them. We can all learn how to be better supporters on other people's teams. One of the things we do is learn how not to say the wrong thing. Learn how not to say the wrong thing. And one of the things that's important about this is being ready and willing to communicate to our supporters what is and is not helpful feedback or support when we go to them for help. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect people. And so no matter how good our intentions are, we may not always get it right when we're trying to be supportive. Some of the things that we say may be very, very helpful. Some of the things that we say may not help at all. Some of the things that we say may be actually hurtful, even though we don't intend for what we're saying to be hurtful. One of the things that a lot of people who are depressed wish is that people who come to them to help them know what not to say. And one of the things that they want us to know not to say is, hey, come on, this could be worse. That's one of the things we do not say to someone who is depressed. One of the things that you don't share with people who are depressed are situations that you've experienced that had you really down and how you came out of it. A lot of people who are depressed are not helped by that. And so it really helps to get to a point where we find out what's really helping, what's really not. And for those who are really looking for the support, take some of the guesswork out of it. And sometimes people aren't guessing. They're pretty certain that what they're sharing is helping. Let them know when it's not. You're helping them by letting them know when what they're communicating is not helping, is not actually supporting you, strengthening you, encouraging you. All right. Another thing that emotionally resilient people do is they consider the possibilities. Yeah. Consider the possibilities. We can actually train ourselves to ask which parts of our current story are permanent and what parts of it can possibly change. Does something come to your mind as you hear me talk about that? How about the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Ask which parts of our current story are permanent, which parts of our story can possibly change. Can this situation be looked at in a different way that I haven't been considering up to this point? This helps us maintain a realistic understanding that the present situation is being colored by our current interpretation. And our interpretations of our stories will always change as we grow and mature. So knowing that today's interpretation can change gives us the faith and the hope that things can actually feel better tomorrow. Now, what else do emotionally resilient people do? They get out of their heads. This is what we mean by that. When we're in the midst of stress and we feel overwhelmed, our thoughts can swirl with dizzying speed and disconnectedness. We have all thoughts going through our mind, all kinds of thoughts going through our mind, and a lot of them are not connected, and so our own thoughts don't really make sense to us. And that can add to the stress. We can find reprieve by getting the thoughts out of our head and onto our paper. Dr. James Pennebaker wrote in his book, Writing to Heal, people who engage in expressive writing report feeling happier and less negative than before writing. Similarly, reports of depressive symptoms, rumination is where you just keep going over. You have the same thoughts going over and over and over in your head. The same thoughts just going over and over. You're going through the same thoughts just going over them over and over in your head. That's rumination. And it leads nowhere. That's rumination. People who experience general anxiety they have these symptoms begin to drop in the weeks and months after writing about emotional upheavals. Writing is a great resilience strategy that can literally, we can keep in the back pocket, having a small notebook that we just keep with us. Emotional resilience, we can build it up, we can develop it, and we need to. Knowing our boundaries, keeping good company, cultivating self-awareness, practicing acceptance, being willing to sit in silence, accepting that we don't have all the answers, having a list of self-care habits, enlisting the support of our team, considering possibilities, and getting unhelpful thoughts out of our head and on to the paper. More speaking with coming up in just a few minutes.